Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you today, and being one of the last weekends in summer, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't sure if you were going to be here or not, and so it's great to see you this morning. If you read your bulletin, which I want to thank Elaine Simpson. She always takes care of the bulletin, and it's such a blessing, and I love the new look. Elaine, you're doing a great job. But if you read your bulletin this morning, you read that I'm going to be speaking about the keeping in step with the Spirit, and then next week I'm going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Well, I've had a little bit of a change of plans, because as I was working on keeping in step with the Spirit, I just felt like it was too much of a downer, and I didn't want to leave you with just the first half of that passage and not look at the second half of that passage. And so we're going to look at all of it this morning. Now, some of you are thinking, man, I should have brought a snack, right? But hopefully that won't be the case. Hopefully I will keep things in a realistic time frame this morning. You know, as we think about Galatians in general, we think a lot about the fact that the church at Galatia, or the churches of Galatia, were focused in on the law. And they were trying to make God's law from the Old Testament a part of salvation in the New Testament. And, you know, I think a lot of us do the same thing. If you were to go out on the streets today and you were to ask a person, if you were to die today, how would you know whether or not you would go to heaven or not? The vast majority of people would say, well, I've tried to live a good life, right? That's what most people would say, and that the fact is that is living by the law. The Bible tells us, and it makes it very clear, that there is none who can live up to the standards that are found in the law. And because we cannot live up to those standards, God provided a different way for us. And that way is through grace. And so it is by grace through faith that we are able to receive Christ as our personal Savior. And so Paul spent the entire book of Galatians making it clear to the people there that it is not by the law, but it is by God's grace that we must live the Christian life. I love what Galatians 5:25 says. It says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And that's what we're going to be focusing on today. It's not just by grace faith that we receive Christ as our Savior, but it is by grace through faith that we are able to live each day of our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. You know, this concept of keeping in step with the Spirit is one that I don't understand the importance of keeping in step as well as some of you do. You see, some of you were in the military, and if you were ever out of step with your platoon, it was a major problem, right? Many of you were in the band, in the marching band, and keeping in step in the concept of a marching band is also very, very important. And so I want to talk about the importance of keeping in step for just a moment. But I think the best way to illustrate that to you is by showing you a couple of short videos. The first of these is the Ohio State Marching Band. Now, if you are have any ideas about marching bands in the world, Dan, am I right? Ohio State Band is one of the best ever. And so I want to start with a video of the Ohio State Marching Band.
Thank you.
Now, I got to say, that's pretty amazing that they would be able to make all of those maneuvers with a band of hundreds of people and get in the exact right place, that nobody was out of their position to make something like that. Now, I was analyzing this, you know, being the band guru that I am, right? And I thought, man, wouldn't it have been great if the wheels could have been spinning all the way down the field? But wow, you know, then you'd have this lopsided wheel. So it was probably best the way it was. You know, that was amazing. And if anybody had been out of step, we could have seen it. Well, there are a lot of bands in the world that aren't the Ohio State Marching Band. And there are lots of choices that I have to show you an out-of-step band this morning, but I settled on this one. I'm not going to tell you what school it's from. It's a high school somewhere in the state of Texas, the great state of Texas. Watch this band. Keep your eye on the tubas. And just in case you missed it, let's look at it one more time. Now, it's important that you know that no one was harmed in the filming of this production. But you know what? One misstep. And bless their hearts, they've got this huge thing on them. I can't imagine what it would be like to try to march with a tuba over your shoulder. And they were going forward, and then all of a sudden they were starting to go backwards. And the little kid that was carrying that tuba, bless his heart, it was as big as he was. Or she was, I'm not sure. Misstep, and boom, failure. You know, it is important to keep in step. And there are going to be times when we fall. There are going to be times when we fall. There are going to be times when we fail. But did you notice what they did? They got back up and they kept going. I watched another video of another tuba whose pants fell to his ankles in the middle of a performance. And you know what he did? He tried once to pick them up, then he gave up and he kept marching. Now, that is true commitment. That is a bandy extraordinaire. Well, you know what? We need to have that kind of commitment, folks. We need to be committed to walking in the Spirit. We've got to be committed to keeping in step with the Spirit. Because if we're not in step, then we don't look like Him. And that's what God's called us to do, is He's called us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, He wants us to keep in step with Him. So I invite you to take your Bible and look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be reading verses 16 through 25 this morning. For this study, I've read a lot out of the English Standard Version of the Bible. And one of the reasons I've done that is because in the King James Version, we find a lot of words that would take a lot of time to define because we don't understand those particular words. And here in the English Standard, it's a little more easily defined. So if you don't have it and you want to read along with me, I invite you to look at the screen and read along there. But the Bible says in verse 16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this time together, and I thank you for the opportunity to share your word this morning. And Father, I just pray your Spirit would be upon me as I share these truths from your word. And Father, I just pray that the words of my mouth will be received in the ears of those here today. But Lord, most of all, I just pray that your Spirit will be at work in their hearts, and that you will help us to see the places where we have failed, those places where we are out of step with you today, Lord, and help us to change the way that we live. Father, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, the scripture here tells us in verse 16, the very first thing means that we are not satisfying the desires of the flesh. That's not what we live for. We're not living for ourselves. We're living for God. We're not living to do the things we want to do, but we're living to do the things that God wants us to do. We're not trying to satisfy the desires of the flesh. You see, the Spirit's desires and the desires of the flesh are opposed to one another. In our family time this past week, we were thinking about Psalm 37, verse 4, which says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." And we talked about how that it is when we walk with God, when we spend time with God, that God changes our desires. Amen? When I was a kid, and I've shared this with you before, but when I was a kid, about 15, 16 years old, and I first encountered that verse, Psalm 37, 4, and I said, "God, how could you give me the things that are in my heart? Because the things that are in my heart are not godly or good, right, upright things. How could you say that you'll give me the desires of my heart?" And I finally realized it's not that He will fulfill what's in my sinful nature, but He will transform my sinful nature to be in line with His. I'll then be in step with Him. He gives us new desires because our desires and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to one another. You remember last week we talked about spiritual to-do lists? Well, folks, walking in the Spirit means that you are not under the law, and therefore you do not have a spiritual to-do list. I want to pause here for just a moment, because a lot of people fall on one side or the other, but have a difficult time hitting the middle on this issue. There are a lot of people who would say, "I've got to have my to-do list. I've got to read my Bible every day. I need to pray every day. I need to..." Whatever your list looks like. There are a lot of people who say, "That's what I've got to do. That's who I am called to be as a believer." And to that I would say, yes. Yes, we are. We are called to spend time with God. We are called to spend time in His Word. We are called to talk with Him and spend time praying with Him. But let's not do it out of obligation. It's not a to-do list. It's a get-to-do list. Do you see the difference? But then you've got the other side of that coin where you have people who are saying, well, I live under grace and God loves me and He forgives me of my sins and He shows mercy and compassion upon me and I don't have to worry about His judgment because I believe in Jesus. And you know what? To that I would say, yes, that also is true. But shall we keep on sinning just so that grace will abound? Paul tells us, no. No. Our goal is to live a life that is pleasing to God. And when we fail, and when we fall, and when we bring others down with us, as the tuba did earlier, He wants us to get up and do better next time. Is that the law? No. That's grace. It's not a spiritual to-do list. It's walking in the Spirit each and every day. Well, this passage goes on and it tells us that we are to, let's see. Verse 18, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. So what are the works of the flesh? Well, there are lots of works of the flesh that we find here, a huge list of works of the flesh. And so we'll start out and just looking at a couple of these. You see, the first three of these works of the flesh that we find are sins that are dealing with our sexuality, our sexual desires. And so these sexual sins include sexual immorality, impurity, and sensuality, or also known as lust or lustful desires. You know, I'm not sure if these are listed in any priority order, but men, these are issues that all of us face. It doesn't matter if you're 12, 24, or 84. Sexual immorality, impurity, and lust are all issues that we must be aware of. What are the works of the flesh? And you notice, he talks about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. This isn't the fruit of the flesh. This is a work of the flesh. This is a debased thing. We all struggle with these issues. And it tells us that we've got to get rid of these things, put these things away. If you're led by the Spirit, then you need to get rid of these works of the flesh. Sexual sins, but also religious sins. Religious sins include idolatry as well as sorcery. Now, idolatry, we know what that is. We understand that that is putting things before God. Sorcery, we also understand from movies and things like that, witchcraft and so forth. But one of the things that was brought together in this idea of sorcery, or what was always present in the area of sorcery at the time of this writing, was drug use. Because drug use, drug-induced states, would allow greater powers to be at work through the person. And so these are religious sins. It is putting things before God. And God says that we are to love Him and we are to worship Him and we are to have no gods before Him. Idolatry and sorcery are religious sins. But the next set of the list is the largest set. You've got 9 different things here, 8 different things here, and these are societal sins. These are the sins that go against the second greatest commandment. And what is the second greatest commandment according to Jesus Christ? Love your neighbor as yourself. How can you love your neighbor if you are hostile toward them or you're always fighting with them? Now, real quickly, I want to walk through this list. Enmity is hostility. And typically, this is hostility between groups. And if you look at the next, strife and quarreling, this is the natural result of this enmity or this hostility. Folks, we are living in a society today that is hostile between different groups of people. Is that true? Whether it's race or sexual orientation or what, you know, religious beliefs, we are living in a society today that is a society of hostility and enmity. And the result is strife. You know, all the things that have been happening in our country with the riots and so forth, these are the effects of strife that are taking place in our country. What is our answer to strife and enmity and hostility? Well, we're going to talk more about it in a minute, but let's pause and say the answer is love. Sitting out on the table in the foyer this morning is a large document that we want to make sure every family gets one copy of, because next Sunday night in our annual business meeting, we're going to be voting on this document, and it is a document that is the constitution and bylaws for our church. And in that document, we have statements concerning marriage and family. We have statements concerning our belief of concerning the sanctity of life and everything that goes along with our church. And so I invite you to be sure and pick one of those up. If we run out, we can make more copies. But as we think about these things and we work to protect our church against the decisions that are being made all around us in society, as we work to protect ourselves and almost build a hedge of protection around us so that they cannot come in and tell us what to do, folks, we have a tendency to err terribly in that we forget that God commands us to love them. Yeah, I don't want anyone coming in here and telling us how we ought to do, what we ought to believe, or how we should use our facility. And I do want to protect ourselves from those things. But folks, we're all sinners saved by grace. And we've got to love the sinner. We can hate the sin. It's okay. We need to hate the sin. But we've got to love the sinner. So when we experience hostility and quarreling, we've got to be agents of love in our culture. We cannot stand up and spew forth hate speeches. And that includes in our social media. What are you posting online? And how would someone of that other group, whatever group it might be, how would that person receive that if they were to watch it? If they would become angry, then do you think that's what you ought to do in order to walk in the Spirit? We've got to do what we can to get rid of enmity and strife between groups. Going on, societal sins, the next is jealousy. And this is not the kind of jealousy like God is a jealous God, but this is the kind of jealousy where we are self-centered and we want what we want. And it's all about us. And that leads to fits of anger. Now, if you don't believe that every man is a sinner, you need to go to a daycare sometime. Because fits of anger abound when you get a lot of small children together. They throw fits in anger. Why? Because they want what they want. Selfish ambition or rivalries. You know, it is, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this deal? I'm not going to do something if I don't benefit somehow. This, again, is a societal sin. And then the next, dissensions and divisions. I think these two go together because these are dealing with issues of personality differences. And we've talked a lot about personalities in the last couple of months on Wednesday nights. And we're learning how that different people are wired different ways. And because of that nature within them and because of that wiring within them, they approach issues from different perspectives than us. And what I'm hoping that we've learned is they're not wrong and neither are we. We're just different. But because of those differences, it can bring about dissensions and divisions within relationships. Because someone sees something from this angle and you're looking at it from this angle, you see two different things. And because then dissensions and divisions come out. The last of these works of the flesh that we would call societal sins is the sin of envy. And you know, we talked about jealousy earlier. Envy is very similar to jealousy, but envy is a little bit different. I think this is the most directed sin as a result of the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's house or your neighbor's animals. You don't want what they have. You are green with envy, is the saying, right? It's a societal sin. We all have that in us that says, I want what somebody else has. And marketing people play off of that all the time. I mean, if you look at some of the things that we buy and what they actually look like, sometimes you might wonder, why in the world is that popular? Why? Because somebody somewhere convinced a whole bunch of people that that's the next best thing. And so we got to have the next best thing. And if we don't have the next best thing, we fall into this sin of envy. Societal sins. Paul spent a lot of time talking to the churches of Galatia about these societal sins. Enmity, strife, jealousy. Fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, and envy. But this fourth category of sins that he shares with them, I didn't know what to call it. It's not religious sin. It's not societal sins. You know, it's not sexual sins. And so I just decided, well, these are out of control sins. Drunkenness, orgies, etc., etc. Notice what he says in verse 21. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This drunkenness, we know what it means to be drunk, inebriated. We know what people look like when they are inebriated. We're out of control. We've lost all control of our faculties. We can't walk a straight line. We can't talk straight. We either lose our inhibitions or we become angry or whatever. You know, you've heard of the mean drunk. It changes who we are because we are out of control of ourselves. And then this other, the Bible refers to as orgies, has a sexual connotation in our society, but in this connotation, it's actually referring to wild parties. In other words, not just getting drunk by yourself, but getting drunk in a public setting and acting like fools. Out of control. Paul says, these are the works of the flesh, and the works of the flesh are opposed to the fruit of the Spirit. If you're walking in the flesh, you cannot walk in the Spirit. And then he says, and the things like these, etc., etc., etc. This is not a comprehensive list. It is not exhaustive. This is just a touch of all the different things that people do because of their fleshly desires. And so he gives us this list and says, don't do these things. In fact, he goes on and he said, I warn you as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you know what, folks? If you are honest this morning, you are guilty of some of these things. If you're honest, every single one of us are guilty of some of these things. There are some of these things that I've never even been tempted to do. But there are some that are a constant struggle. Let's be honest with ourselves. These are things that we struggle against. So does that mean because we struggle with some of these issues, does that mean that we will not inherit the kingdom of God? I would have to say to you no, because of what he already has taught us about grace in this book. And throughout the entire Bible, but it's specifically in this book of Galatians, how that we are saved by grace through faith. And it is God's plan for us that we will inherit Christ's righteousness in place of our own attempts at righteousness. We don't have to worry about that. So what does he mean when he says that you will not inherit the kingdom of God if you do these things? Well, I think it all has to do with a lifestyle. You see, I may struggle with some of these things, but none of these are descriptive of who I am in my life and the style of my life. And so what I would say to you this morning is if you look at this list and you see that, you know, I'm doing one of those or two of those or eight of those all the time, then I would ask you to consider the possibility that if this is your lifestyle, then you do not know Christ as your Savior. If this is your lifestyle and you live that way with no concerns and antagonistic against anyone who tries to tell you that it's wrong, then I would say to you today that Jesus Christ loves you. And he wants something better for your life. But the only way that you can experience that is trusting in him, placing your faith in him. And then he can take these things away. Little by little, he will help you to grow and become more like him. What's your lifestyle? Do you find yourself living this way? Folks, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you will struggle with the works of the flesh, but the works of the flesh will not be your lifestyle. Rather, there will be fruit as a result of your life in Jesus Christ. And so I want us to look at what is the fruit of the Spirit. Notice what I say, first of all. This is the fruit of the Spirit. It is not the fruits of the Spirit. It is singular. It is the fruit of the Spirit. These are descriptors of what a life controlled by the Spirit ought to look like. So what does he say? Let's read there in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, kindness, self-control, and faithfulness. I set them out of order, but I got them all, I promise. These are the fruit. And you know what? Sometimes people have this attitude of, well, when it comes to the fruits of the Spirit, I do pretty good on number 1, 3, 8, and 9, but I still need to work on those other ones. Folks, if we are walking in the Spirit, all of these things should be descriptive of our life because it is the fruit of the Spirit. Different ways to describe the same fruit, but it is all the fruit of the Spirit. We had a fruit in the Philippines that we absolutely loved. It was by far our favorite fruit of all, and it was only in season twice a year. And that fruit was called rambutan. Anyone ever heard of rambutan besides my family? Rambutan. If you had to try to describe rambutan, I didn't tell them I was going to do this. Carly, Caleb, how would you describe rambutan? It's so weird. That's a pretty good description. It's up to you. A skinless grape with a pit like a peach. All right? Now, the outside of this skinless grape, because it did have a skin, otherwise that'd be kind of gross to eat a skinless fruit, right? The outside of this fruit had a thick, thick layer on it, like thicker than an orange. And you could punch your finger through it and it just popped out. It would just break open. So it was about the size of a large egg, but it was either red or green on the outside. And then, this is where it really gets weird, it looked kind of like a porcupine because it had little quills sticking out. It didn't hurt to touch it, but yeah, that's what rambutan looked like. And kids, how did we decide which was the best tasting rambutan whenever we would go to the market to buy it? The ones with the most ants on them were the sweetest of the rambutan. And so we'd look for them and, oh, there's a bunch of ants on these, and so we'd take those home. Now, that is a single fruit, but you can't describe it in one word or even two. The fruit of the Spirit is much the same. It is the result of your relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the fruit, the result of the relationship with Jesus Christ. And so how do you describe the result of the relationship? You can't do it with one or two words. Here, Paul took 9 words to describe what the fruit of the Spirit looks like. So he says, first of all, it looks like love, joy, and peace. You see, love, joy, and peace is where the fruit starts. It's the way that you start describing the fruit because these are your attitudes toward God given to you by God. Why do we love? The Bible tells us because He first loved us, right? Why do we love? Because He first loved us. How do we experience joy? Because Jesus Christ gives us joy. How do we experience peace? It said that He leaves us with peace. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." Not as other people have experienced peace, but a special peace that goes beyond all understanding. These are attitudes toward God. Love. joy and peace. These are the first things that people should be seeing as a result of your relationship with Christ. They should see these things in your life. The next three, I believe, are attitudes toward others. Patience, kindness, and goodness. Now let me hasten to say, you will not be patient, you will not be kind, and you will not be good if you do not have love, joy, and peace flowing out of your life. If you are not walking in the Spirit, you will not be patient or kind or good. Amen? Yesterday, I hate it when God indicts me with my own sermons. But yesterday, as I was driving home at about 6 o'clock, and my daughter and I had to go to the pet store to buy a bunch of junk for a new cat that we have. Can you tell I'm excited about it? She loves it, and that's what matters, because I love her. But moving forward, as I was driving home from the church to the house to pick up Carly, and she will attest to this, I got home and I said, I saw three stupid drivers between the church and the house. And only three. It's only a mile, so a mile and a quarter. But my patience for drivers is a really good test of my walk in the Spirit. And she didn't make it obvious, but yes, my wife just nodded and said, yes. It is. My patience with my children, my kindness to my children, is a litmus test for whether or not I am walking in the Spirit. If I am hostile, I think I remember that. Wasn't that a work of the flesh? I think it was. Folks, the way that we respond to others, the way that we interact with other people is an evidence of what we are doing in our spiritual relationship with God. And if we do not exhibit love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness in our lives, then that means that we are not in step with the Spirit. We're out of step. We're not doing what we ought to do. Patience, kindness, and goodness are enabled by the love, joy, and peace that we receive from God. And then the third set, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are attitudes toward ourselves. We started with attitudes toward God and then attitudes toward others. Now we're looking at our attitude toward ourselves. And each of these guide the general conduct of the believer. Are we faithful? Are we gentle? Do we have control of ourselves? You see, again, if we are walking in the Spirit and experiencing His love, joy, and peace, then we will show patience, kindness, and goodness to others, and our life will be a life of faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is how God hopes that we will act. And I love what He says in verse 24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. It's not typically gathered together as part of the fruit of the Spirit, but I do want to recognize the fact that part of our life of walking in the Spirit includes a crucified flesh. And you know, this is an action by the Spirit. We've spent these last 2 months talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We talked last week about how we cannot live for God without the enabling power of the Spirit in our lives. Folks, we cannot exhibit the fruit of the Spirit in our lives unless the Spirit of God is crucifying our flesh each and every day. And I wish, oh how I wish it were a decision you could make today and never have to worry about it again. But the fact is every day, and for that matter, every moment of the day, I have to decide whether my flesh is going to remain on the cross or if I'm going to let it down and play with it for a while. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, He will crucify our flesh. And we will be made new, transformed through the renewing of our mind. That is the fruit of the Spirit. So the question is, which way will you choose to go? We all have a walk. We all have the way that we're going to go. We're going to keep in step with something. Will it be the Spirit? Or will it be the world? Will it be what God wants? Or will we focus in on our flesh? What's it going to be for you? You're the only one that can make that decision. Which way will you choose to go? I want to share with you today that, you know, life in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's one of the best things that I ever chose to do. It's given me purpose. It's given me peace. It's taught me how to love. Because there's nothing inside of me that can exhibit those things. Without the work of the Holy Spirit in me, I am a miserable old man. If you find yourself in a place today where you're not the person that you would like to be, may I say to you that it's because you're not keeping in step with the Spirit. Will you choose today to change that? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your love, joy, and peace that you have given to me. Lord, I just pray that you would help me to exhibit the fruit of my relationship with you. God, I just pray that if there are others here today that need that relationship, that Father, you would convict them of their sins and bring them to a place where they are ready to receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. Help them to see the life that you have to offer to them. And Father, if there are ones here today that are not living according to your word, not living the life that you've called them to live, Father, I just pray that you would help them to choose today. Help them to choose to live their life in such a way that brings honor and glory to you, that they're walking in the Spirit each day. Father, help us not walk away from this place without making a decision. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.